Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, James chapter 1. In our world today, there are many that will call themselves Christians, right? We call them professing. In fact, we're professing Christians. We profess Christ. But there's another element to true Christianity, and that is I profess, but I'm also, I practice. I live. I live what I profess. You see all these polls out there and all these different numbers that that go on about who are Christians and who is Catholics and all that. I often wonder how in the world they can do such things, because anybody can say anything on a piece of paper and check any kind of box that they want to. You know, we in the church, we have to seriously consider though where we're at when we consider, are we professing Christ or are we professing and practicing Jesus Christ? We're saved, we know Him, and we live it. You see, those that profess Christ, those that say, I am a Christian, it's in name, a lot of times it's just in name only, and they carry that label with them, but yet their life doesn't match what they say. Now, James here, as he's communicating to these suffering Jews, they've been scattered by persecution. They're scattered throughout the Middle Eastern area, and he is seeking to help them understand how they are to live in this environment. They're away from their homes. Their faith is of no value to their neighbors. But yet it's sincere and it's true and it's real and they believe the words of Jesus. James, quite indeed, might have been written around 45, 50 AD, Jesus having died, early 30s AD. Many of the folks might have even seen and heard the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. But now they're being confronted. Now, to be a follower of the way, the follower of Jesus, is not a good popular thing, like it ever was, really. But now they're really suffering for it. The temptation, as we've studied, the temptation would be, at times, to compromise. Maybe, perhaps, to walk away from the faith. And James here, in this passage we're going to look at tonight, beginning with verse 22, challenges them to not only be hearers of the word, but to be doers. We're very familiar with this passage. Verse 22 of James chapter 1, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right, so as we consider this tonight, being doers of the word and not hearers only. If you take this passage, there's a very clear illustration that's given. So ladies, I'd like you to take your purse and I'd like you to pull out your mirrors. Now, how do I know you have mirrors in your purse? Well, I will tell you that I was over at her house looking for a mirror and I couldn't find a hand mirror. I was about ready to take one off the wall. But you must have it in your suitcase. Haley, why do ladies have mirrors? To look at themselves. Gary, pull out your mirror. You don't have a mirror. Oh, okay. All right. So do we have mirrors? Boy, this is interesting. Anybody have a mirror? I was counting on this because I need it for an illustration. All right. That's all right. We can move along, and I will just make do. No. That's right. That's right. First one with a mirror gets $50. Okay. Yeah. This is not a vain group. This is great. This is good. Now, the illustration is this, okay? What we see is James is describing a hearer of the word as someone, verse 23, who beholds their natural face in a glass. Now, this glass would be the term for mirror in those days. Now, let's remember, they didn't have glass. Their mirrors weren't glass, we'll put it that way. Their mirrors were polished metal. And in my studies, it seems that as if their mirrors did not hang on the walls, they were flat on tables. And so, in other words, what you would have is you'd have someone with a polished piece of metal on a table, and if they wanted to see themselves, they would lean over and they would, you know, inspect themselves and check and make sure everything is in order. Now, key thing in this illustration is beholding his natural face in a glass. By the way, that natural face is the basically the face that you're born with. Okay, that's the terminology. Literally, face of his birth would be a very literal way of saying that. So we have this man, this hearer, not a doer. He's like a man beholding. That word beholding is considering attentively. So he's seriously looking at himself in the in this polished metal. Verse 24, for he considers attentively himself, and then he goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. So the picture that James is drawing here is a man looks at himself in the mirror, he considers himself intently, you know, straightens out whatever needs to be done. Then he goes away and forgets what he looks like. Now, we know that we forget what we look like because what do? We return back to the mirror, but we forget. Now, the important comparison that he's making here is this concept of going away and forgetting. Going away and forgetting should be contrasted to what we see in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and, what's the next word? And continues therein, he being not a, what? Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So James is describing a very typical situation. He's not condemning the mirror. He's not condemning looking in a mirror. All he's doing is taking a very practical illustration from normal day life and saying, you folks know what this is like. You look in the glass, the mirror, you inspect yourself, you walk away, but you know that it's of no value a minute later. Now, in this whole realm and subject of being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, the important thing is, how do you deal or handle the word? How do you react to the word that is introduced into your life? Are you one that takes the word, considers it attentively, but then goes away from it and forgets what it tells you about yourself? Or are you one who is a doer who takes the word and listen to what this verb is in verse 25? Whoso looketh, very interesting description. And this is why I wanted to have a mirror. If the mirror is on the table, what do you have to do to look into the mirror? You have to stoop over, right? You have to bend over, and you have to look in. This word is the same word that is used to describe Peter and John when they went to the empty tomb. And what they did was, when they got to the tomb, here in Luke 24, verse 12, says, "Then arose Peter, ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass." You stoop down so that you can look into it and see things just as they are. So the picture is, we are to be people who do not walk away and forget what we have heard, but rather we dwell in what we have heard. We take it, we look into it, we stoop down, we study intently what is there and how it reflects who we are and who we should be in Christ. And we remain there. We continue there. Now, James is not proposing that we stand in front of a mirror all day. But what is he proposing? That we be men and women who meditate in the Word throughout the day. And why is that important? James is recognizing the value of the Word. Because remember, throughout this whole chapter, he's been mentioning the Word. He's been mentioning the Word of truth. Just last week, we looked in verse 21 where it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." James is putting value upon the Word, and he is teaching these people, value the Word of God. Value it. And not only, and the way you show that you value it is not just listening and hearing it, but taking what you hear and doing it. Practicing what you hear. "Whoso looketh, whoso stoopeth down and looks intently into the perfect law of liberty." Now, I want to describe, why does James use that terminology? Perfect law of liberty. Well, let's remember he's speaking primarily to a Jewish audience. So law communicates, doesn't it? Law will communicate. If you're a Jew, you've grown up with the Mosaic law. That's been a part of your training. The law communicates that it's a message from God. It's God's standards. It's God's truth. The perfect law, complete, that which is entire and finished. It's not lacking anything in order to be considered complete. It's that perfect law that is able to have an impact in your life exactly as God intended it to be. It's the perfect law of liberty. Now, why would liberty communicate? Well, these folks are under persecution. These folks have grown up under the Mosaic law. Let's remember the Pharisees. Let's remember they were in great bondage to the law, weren't they? They were enslaved by God's law. And James here, agreeing with Jesus, "For Jesus' son, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed," Jesus said. Jesus spoke of freedom that is in him and in knowing him. And so if that is true, this word that comes from God in Jesus Christ will bring freedom. And so listen, believer, it's the perfect law of liberty. So now, with all that in mind, let's read the passage again. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Why would they be deceiving themselves? Well, let's think with our common sense caps on. All right? If you hear something, you hear an instruction, but you don't do it, is that smart? Is it wise? No. Even a 2-year-old understands that. It's foolishness. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? This is the Sermon on the Mount. And he ended the Sermon on the Mount with this paragraph. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Remember that? Which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descends, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a... What kids? Likened unto a... Who built his house on the sand, Sophie? The foolish man. So if you hear these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and do them not, you're like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains come down, the floods come up, and the house on the sand goes splat. Thank you, Harold. All right. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, in a Sermon on the Mount, communicates to these people, you know what? Hearing, it's good, but it's not where it should stop. We are to be people who take the word and then practice what we hear. Now, by way of application, I'm sure there are many, or I trust that there are many times that you are confronted with the Word of God. Let's think a little bit. How much do we value the Word? You know what? If it truly is a precious treasure, if it is the perfect law of liberty, we would heed it, wouldn't we? We would pay attention to it. I wrote down just a couple points of application, some practical steps to being a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. First of all, review passages of Scripture that are presented to you, that are convicting, that are enlightening. You know, let's take, for example, our passage that we looked at this morning in our morning message, Titus chapter 3. And I believe we would all agree that that passage was full of just rich truth that overwhelms us with the greatness of God's mercy and His grace. That incredible terminology of being regenerated and of being renewed. That concept of where we once were and what God has done and changing us. And giving us life. Remember that Titus, his exhortation is, live holy lives. Live holy lives. Live as people who have received the incredible grace and mercy of God. Well, you know what? I'll be honest. Sunday morning messages, often, will be very quickly gone. As soon as we walk out these doors, they can be very quickly gone. I know that. And you know what? That's true. Let's not be afraid to admit that. But you know what? Let's be responsible with the truths that God presents to us. Don't be afraid to review those things, to look at them again, to absorb the truth. Psalm 1 in verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Secondly, realize that God holds you responsible for things you've been told. You know, if God's word has instructed you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, as he says in verse 19 of James chapter 1, then this is something you are to obey and practice. You know what? It is very foolish. In fact, this word deceiving yourselves in verse 22 is an accounting term. It is an accounting term in this way. What it means is to reckon wrong, to miscount, to cheat by false reckoning. So in other words, you're not helping yourself by just sitting still and listening and then walking away and not doing anything. It's foolishness. You're cheating yourself of great value. We are foolish if we refuse to review passages simply because they contain something that we do not want to do. Thirdly, view God's instructions as steps of freedom, or steps to freedom, not steps to bondage. Dear ones, listen, God's word is not something here to enslave you or me and put you in prison. They are to make us free. Where does that freedom come from? Because you say, God's Bible says we've got to obey God. We've got to submit to Him. Absolutely. We submit to Him in the Spirit of God. And in Galatians, it tells us, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of you want to not walk in the lust of the flesh anymore? Absolutely, yes. That should be your desire, my desire. The Bible says walk in the Spirit. We walk and entrust our lives in the way the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the way He instructs us to live. There is great freedom in that, because there is freedom in knowing I obey God. And in obeying God, I please Him. I please Him. Realize that practicing God's Word is the very best thing anyone can ever do for themselves, for your family, for your friends, for your community. No matter where you live, no matter with whom you live. Understanding and following and practicing God's Word is one of the most important things you could ever do. God's truth is applicable to all times and cultures. And God's truth sets us free. God's truth, obeying God's truth, sheds light, reflects the light of Christ upon this dark world. Realize the great value of practicing God's Word, not only to yourself, but to those that are around you. Finally, write down the passages of Scripture that have challenged you in certain areas of life. Place them in full view, that you might be continually reminded of what God's Word is teaching you. How many of you have done that? Maybe it's in your car or truck or on your mirror at home or above the kitchen sink. In one of our cabinets, I often will open up the cabinet and very simply it says, love one another. You know what? I can't tell you that it impacts me every time I see that. And it's just a simple little phrase from the Scriptures, but that, you know what? That helps me. You know, this whole concept here, the important thing that we need to walk away with is continue therein. Don't be forgetful. And how can we keep from being forgetful? Because you know what? Being forgetful, we all have our moments, don't we? I'm all the time trying to write down notes so I don't forget things. How can we keep from being forgetful? Especially when it's regarding the perfect law of liberty. Remain there. Remain there. Abide right beside it. That's what that word means. In closing, I want to read from Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. Listen to this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them, there is great reward. May we be doers. May we be doers of the word and not just hearers only. God, I thank you for these truths. And God, now take this, which comes from your perfect law of liberty, this truth. We are to be doers of the word. And I pray that we as a church, that we as people, as we walk from this place, we take seriously your instructions. We would value your word as a treasure, and that we would do it in our lives, that we would practice your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.